Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Say the word church, and a wide variety of concepts will spring to the minds of different people. And that is partly because the Bible uses the word church in two distinctive ways. But more often, it is because most people haven't given careful attention to what the Bible has to say about the church. In speaking of the church, some emphasize the local church and some the invisible church, and some will emphasize the local or the visible church to the neglect of the universal. And some will emphasize the invisible or universal church to the neglect of the local. And then there are others who think in terms of common English language usage rather than any biblical concept, and they tend to think of the church as a building or some outward and physical manifestation of the human organization rather than understanding the spiritual dimensions of the church, which are most important, whether we're talking about the church visible or universal. But as I study the Bible, I become convinced that God's purpose for every Christian revolves around a proper relationship to a biblically organized and scripturally functioning local church. A proper understanding of the Bible doctrine of the church can be learned by a thoughtful study of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. In fact, many misconceptions could be cleared away as we give careful attention to one book, the book that we are now engaged in studying on the Beacon Broadcast, Paul's Epistle to the Romans. For Paul thoroughly understands sound doctrine in every area, including the doctrine of the church, and Paul exhibits the proper balance between his emphasis upon the church local and the church universal. And so in our introductory study to the book of Romans, we have now completed our examination of Paul's salutation in verses 1 through 7, and we have taken up what is usually labeled his introduction in verses 8 through 15, or sometimes 8 through 17, depending on whether or not you wish to include the statement of his theme found in verses 16 and 17 as part of the introduction, or to view that as the beginning of the body of his letter. But in the introduction, we have an expansion of the salutation. In the salutation, Paul introduced himself, his main theme, the gospel, and identified his recipients as a church in Rome. And now, in the introduction, he tells his readers a bit more about himself and states his concern for the Roman believers and Paul's fervent desire to visit them. In verses 8 through 10, we learn some valuable lessons about prayer. And we have already looked at those. One of Paul's main requests is that he might be allowed by God to visit the church in Rome. But why is this so important to Paul? And he tells us why in verses 11 through 14, the section that we are looking at next. And if we will listen carefully, we will find four reasons why Paul wanted to visit Rome, and we will learn a great deal about God's purpose for the church. And so we'll be moving into Romans 1, 11 through 14, as we learn about the centrality of the local church in God's program for New Covenant believers. But before we begin that section, let me pause and welcome you to this Friday, November 5, on the Beacon Broadcast, and also to mention our Sermon of the Month number 11, entitled Christians in the Marketplace from Romans 12, 17, and 18. And this will be the last time that I'll be able to mention this radio offer. We'll send you a copy of this message free upon request if you'll write and give us the call letters of this station. Our mailing address, once again, is the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Our email address is beacon@netpath.net. Give us your name and address and call letters of the station and mention Sermon of the Month number 11, and we'll send it to you without cost. Now, Romans 1:11. Paul said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." Well, what do we learn about the centrality of the local church in God's program for New Covenant believers here? Well, the first thing we learn is the local church is the context in which believers best exercise their spiritual gifts. The local church is the context in which believers best exercise their individual spiritual gifts. Again, verse 11, "For I long to see you," said Paul, "that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." What did Paul want to do in Rome? He wanted to impart some spiritual gift. Why did Paul want to impart some spiritual gift? To the end, he tells us, that you may be established. Question, what is a spiritual gift as used by Paul in this verse? What does he mean by that? And the answer is, a spiritual gift is a benefit ministered by the Holy Spirit. Does Paul have in mind the charismata, the spiritual gifts of Romans 12, 6 through 8, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Not likely. The Roman church already had those gifts, those charismata, the charismatic gifts that were common and exercised in that first century era. These spiritual gifts sovereignly distributed by the Holy Spirit in connection with salvation, according to 1 Corinthians 12:11. If they already had those, then why did Paul want to impart unto them these spiritual gifts? So, are the gifts Paul wants to impart the signs of an apostle? Those are referred to in 2 Corinthians 12:12, and the signs of an apostle are those miraculous gifts, those miracle-working signs that identified one as an apostle of Jesus Christ. But that's not likely what Paul has in mind. He says here he wants to impart some spiritual gift in order to establish them. And you find in studying the first and second epistles to the Corinthians that the signs of an apostle did little to establish the Corinthian church. They had them. Paul says they had them. The signs of an apostle truly were done in your midst, and yet they were very immature and poorly established. So what gift does Paul have in mind? Is this the gift of apostolic teaching and preaching, referred to in Ephesians 2:20-22, and Ephesians 4:8, 11, and 12? And I think that is most likely what Paul has in mind here. Paul wants to go to Rome because Paul wants to preach at Rome. Paul wanted to teach at Rome. Paul wanted to exercise his preaching, teaching gift. He wanted to teach them the gospel more thoroughly than they had heretofore received it, in order that they would understand it more comprehensively, in order that they would be able to serve Christ more knowledgeably and effectively, and in order that the unconverted in Rome might be converted, might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul has in mind here. Paul wanted to exercise his spiritual gift, the one that was his primary spiritual gift, namely the apostolic gift of preaching and teaching, on behalf of the church in Rome in order to strengthen them. That's what he's talking about. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. In other words, I want to come to Rome and exercise the spiritual gift of effective preaching / teaching that God has given to me in my office as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so, what Paul is emphasizing here is the importance of the preaching of God's Word. He's emphasizing the need for sound doctrine. He's emphasizing rather the need for spiritually gifted teachers to minister to the churches. He is emphasizing the need for believers to exercise the spiritual gifts given to them by God. And all of this in the context of the local church. I want to come to you at Rome, that is, to the church at Rome, to exercise this spiritual gift. So, reason number one, why the centrality of the local church is God's program for New Covenant believers? Because the local church is the context in which believers best exercise their God-given spiritual gifts. Number two, the local church is the primary means for the growth of believers. The local church is the primary means used by God to bring about growth in the lives of believers. For he goes on in verse 12 to say, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now there are private means of growth, prayer, scripture reading, and yet these are most profitable when exercised in connection with the public means associated with the ministry of the local church. Our private devotion to God, or devotions if we want to put it in the plural, as we commonly use that term, our private devotions are most effective when we are rightly related to a local church and are obediently active in that church. That will give greater power to our private devotions. You can gain a great deal in private. Everything God has for us doesn't come in the context of the local church, in the setting of the local church. Everything God has for us does not come when the church is meeting together. We have, as believers, personal and private access to God. All born-again believers are priests. All of us have access to the throne room of God. All of us have access to the one true mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. All of us have a personal relationship with God as born-again believers, which is ours to develop, to give attention to. But we will not grow individually and privately as well as we should if we are neglecting our active place within the body of believers. For I say it again, the local church is the primary means, not the exclusive means, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but is the primary means for the growth of believers. I'll have to substantiate that statement a little bit more fully on the broadcast on Monday, so please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.